This is Doug Miller. The kingdom of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, are these important subjects? Absolutely, absolutely critical. Stick around, let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time, Bible in hand, to tell out the Word of God over this mic, over this radio. Talk into a mic, out it goes through the airwaves and to you, and I believe indeed, I know the Word of God will be a rich blessing to all of you, and of course, I pray, and I hope you're praying for me, that I'll be able to put it out there in such a way as to make sure that it's a blessing to you. Now, we're in the book of Acts once again. We will take it up at Acts 1:6 this time. I think you should call a friend. Tell them to listen in. You are the only advertising that we have or are going to have. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it. And, of course, as in any ministry of this type, and as you've heard me say many times, we are utterly and absolutely dependent on our listeners for all the prayers and support that they can give us. And please, I could not make myself plainer. As Mayor Shin said in the Music Man, if I were a button hook in well water, please pray for us. If you don't understand how critical this is, you need to understand it, because we have enemies, seen and unseen, and it is very, very easy to be tripped up and to stumble and to fall. We need your prayers and your support so we can get this ministry out broader and broader, out farther and farther. So just write down Dialogue, and we would love to hear from you. Always a pleasure and an encouragement to get letters from the listeners, answer any questions you have, provide you with any help that we can. Dialogue. Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's where you write us. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. And, of course, you can always tune in to our website or look us up online if you are so inclined and are, you know, sophisticated enough technologically, which I am not. But anyway, our website is Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word, dialogueministries.org. Look us up. Okay, let's see what we've got here now. We have got the disciples asking a question of the Lord Jesus that is very interesting and very important. And I want you to see what goes down here. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, he has been talking to them. We saw this last time in verse 3 up there. He had been talking to them 40 days about the kingdom. And for those of you who persist in thinking that the kingdom of God and the church are the same thing, this sixth verse utterly, as far as I can tell, destroys that notion. They are not the same things. Because he had been talking to them about the kingdom for 40 days. And they say to him now, at this time, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? You've been talking to us about it for 40 days. You've been crucified. You've been raised up again. We see you living and alive before us. We are absolutely convinced that you're Messiah. No one but Messiah could have gone through this and be back physically in our presence to talk to us. We know you were dead. We saw them take you down off that cross and put you in the tomb. Now, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? What did these disciples understand the kingdom to be? He had been talking to them for 40 days about it. Had he misled them or confused them? Well, here's his chance to straighten it out. Here's his chance to straighten it out, if he had. But he hadn't. They understood very well what the kingdom was. And the kingdom, once again, for those of you who disagree with me, or for those of you who weren't listening last time or haven't been paying attention, the kingdom is not church. It's the messianic kingdom. Messiah on his throne. There had not been a kingdom in Israel since way back there. When Nebuchadnezzar came in from Babylon and destroyed Jerusalem and took the people of Jerusalem captive to Babylon. The remnant that came back to Israel did not reestablish the kingdom. There was no Jewish king in the line of David seated on the throne. What we have at the time the Lord Jesus Christ came along in Herod was, might as well just call him a usurper. If he wasn't out of the Davidic line, then he had no business being seated on the throne, and he was not. And therefore, the kingdom was destroyed a long time ago. Now, here is your question. Are you going to reestablish it? What would it take to reestablish the kingdom in Israel? Quite simply, it would take a driving out of the Gentile powers, the establishment of the king out of the Davidic line, the house of David, and that individual physically seated on a physical throne in a physical earthly Jerusalem. That would be the kingdom. Anything else would not be the kingdom. And their saying here, or their question is, are you here to establish it at this time? Now notice what he doesn't say to them. He does not say to them, why, you ignorant bunch of backwoods hicks, or words to that effect. You morons, I have been talking to you for 40 days and you don't get it. Don't you understand, you ninnies, that the kingdom of Israel is a heavenly kingdom made up of Gentiles, and it's the church, and on and on and on, and a long explanation that is akin to the kind that is given today in the churches that are under the false teaching of replacement theology. Jesus doesn't say anything like that to these men. He doesn't accuse them of being slow. He doesn't tell them that the kingdom is the church and that he is here to do it. That's not what he says at all. He's been talking to them 40 days about the kingdom, and every indication is that they understood him perfectly. Because what he says to them, look at verse 6, when they therefore were come to, wilt thou restore the kingdom? Verse 7 now. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now here is a verse that is often quoted to prove that we cannot know when the Lord will come back for the church in the rapturing of the church. I've seen this one proved many or cited many times. You know, look, that's not what the Lord's talking about here at all. The rapturing of the church is not in view here. The question is, when will Messiah sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem and rule, and the Gentile powers be cast out, and the millennial kingdom and all its glory, the golden age for Israel, when is it coming in? Is that going to be right now, Lord? And the Lord says to them, you are not to know that, or times or seasons. The Father has put these things in his own power. Now, this is a group of Jews once again, and that's his word to them. And all of you out there need to understand once again. I know I repeat myself a lot, but that's what learning's all about, and that's what teaching's all about. You need to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to a group of Jews about the Messianic kingdom. The church is the furthest thing from their minds right now, and the Lord Jesus has not told him anything about the church, and it's just that simple, friends. And you can't make it be anything else. You can try, but it will not work. It won't fly. All right? He says, ye shall, now look at this in verse 8, very important verse, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now this is very akin to the great commission given at the end of Matthew 28. Go ye therefore. But we get a little clearer insight into it right now. They were to go, but they were to go only after a promise given to them was fulfilled. Before they could go in power as witnesses of the Lord Jesus and take this good news out to the ends of the earth, they needed to have the Holy Spirit. They did not have the Holy Spirit. Now, that does not mean that the Holy Spirit was not in the world and active in the world at this time. But the Holy Spirit was not upon these individuals in the way that he was going to be. The Holy Spirit was going to come, and by an act called a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we'll have more to say about later on, he was going to put them together into one body, the church. They were going to be one unit. As individuals, they were going to be indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit. As peoples of God, they were going to be gifted and given certain gifts directly by the Holy Spirit that they would need to be out in the world today. Now, I know there are always questions that arise when you start talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And I know that, you know, you get these questions that divide brethren and start wars about the gifts of tongues and healings and so on and so forth. And I'll talk about those later on. And some of you will like what I have to say and some of you won't. But right now, let's just keep it where we are and no need opening up that particular subject until we get to it. Right now, they are to wait and abide in Jerusalem. And when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you will then be witnesses unto me. And look at it here, in Jerusalem. Now, this is interesting for all of us because this says something. Certainly says something to Dialogue Ministries and to those of us who are involved in it. And I hope it says something to all of you. Jerusalem was the hometown. That's where they lived and where they, were at the time. That's where their residences were. That's where they were supposed to be abiding. And there was going to be a great work that was going to go out beginning in Jerusalem. And that's where their testimony would begin. And then in all Judea was the state, as it were, the region in which Jerusalem was located. So you might say, look, you'll be witnesses to me beginning in Waco and then in all of Texas and then Samaria, you'll notice here, that was the neighboring state. And you'll go up to Oklahoma and into Louisiana and so on and so forth. And then finally to the uttermost part of the earth. This is an encouraging verse. The Lord Jesus tells them flatly, this is what will happen. This is what you're going to do. And that is, I think, what he says to us. Now, for those of you who are out there saying, well, I don't know Oh, what I can do. I don't know that I have anything to say. Oh, don't waste my time with that. There are many things that you can do. You are a part of the body of Christ if you are saved just as much as anyone else is. And you may not be in Africa as a missionary or in New Guinea or standing on the polar caps preaching to penguins or whatever, but wherever you are, you have got a part of this ministry. And you ought to be enthusiastic about it and praying for the people who are out there and supporting them and doing what you can do and being open at least. I didn't say you have to go, but being open at least to being sent anywhere the Lord wants to use you. And it is a worldwide ministry, and our Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if he puts his hand on you and raises you up to do something, I got some good advice for you now. Don't worry about the money. He can supply the money. You know, you've heard me say this before on here, but I believe it was George Mueller or Hudson Taylor, one of them, who said God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies. Okay? Good thing to remember. And, of course, we have in Dialogue, we are strictly a faith ministry. We have never found it necessary to go around begging or sending out money for, you know, letters for great fund drives or, you know, hitting up the people of God. That's not the way it works. If you're doing God's work in God's way, he's going to supply the means. And you can put that in the bank because God knows your needs before you ask him. And if you, and so if you're being called to go out there, don't worry about how you're going to do it. The Lord will make that clear, and he'll do it for you. Now, for those of you who say, you know, I was talking about missionary work one time in a home Bible study. We were sitting around. There may have been 15 people in the room. And I was talking right along these lines. And when I talked to, I mentioned, you know, going out as in missionary work or something like that. One of the ladies in the group very quickly said, oh, I don't think God wants everyone to do that. Now, of course, she was absolutely right. God doesn't want everyone to do that. But you know what she told me, the way she said that and her quick, snap reaction to that? She might as well have just said it openly because it was very clear. Don't talk to me about that. I'm not open to that. I'm not going out there. That's what she might as well have said. That's sad. God doesn't want everyone to do this, to go out to the ends of the earth. But I want to tell you one thing. I believe God wants every one of his people to be open to the possibility. I believe that God is the one who is in charge, and the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed Lord, and we are, if we are anything like what we are supposed to be, we are bond slaves and servants of the Lord Jesus, and we are to be ready, willing, and able at any moment to go and to be open to being led by him. And when you close off a part of your life and say, well, I'm not going to do that now. No point in talking to me about that. Get thee hence. You want to do that, fine. But you won't get any encouragement from me, and what you're going to do is you're going to make yourself virtually useless to the Lord if you close your life off to him like that. Now, those men and women, whoever they were standing there listening to him on the Olivet, the Mount of Olives that day, I don't know how many of them actually left Jerusalem and went anywhere. Many of them did. Many of them didn't. But it doesn't matter. The command is to all of them, and the call is to all of them. Now let's go on. In verse 9, when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Very interesting and important when you consider the next two verses. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. Now let's talk about these verses. Here we have the Lord Jesus being taken up physically into heaven. Now, these individuals who were standing on Olivet with him, I don't know what they thought up to now. I don't know if they thought he was around for the duration and was going to be hanging around from then on, but no way. No way he was not going to be with them. And he was physically taken up. And I just imagine that they were stunned. They were looking steadfast, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, we get the two angels now, just as two men, but they were in white apparel. And ye men of Galilee. So I said earlier there may have been women up there. Maybe there weren't. They're talking to men. And they're talking to Galileans here. Group of Galileans. They make it clear here. Why are you standing here looking up into heaven? This is not the place for you. This, and notice there were two of them. Now, two is the number of witness throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament. Two witnesses. The Lord Jesus sent out his witnesses two by two back in the Gospels. There are two witnesses that are in Jerusalem back in Revelation, the two witnesses, you know, and even back in the Old Testament, so often you see this number two come up and just see what it's attached to. Here are the two witnesses, and they say this Jesus, the same Jesus, not a different one, and as you've seen him go away, that's exactly how he's coming back. And they were on the Mount of Olives, and he is coming back in this way. Now, this is important, friends, and let me just say this. We're down toward the end here. He is not coming back here for the rapturing of the church. The rapturing of the church will, when he comes back in this way, will have already taken place 7 years before. The church is not in view here. We have here the second coming of Jesus Christ back to earth. The rapturing of the church will be in the air. We will be caught up together to meet him in the air. But in this case, he is coming back, and this is the second coming. The second coming of Jesus Christ is not the rapturing of the church. It's coming back to the earth again for and to Israel. He is coming back in the same manner as you're seeing him go away. Well, how's he coming back? He's coming back physically. Where is he coming back? He's coming back to Olivet. And when is he coming back? Well, we don't know that yet. We don't know, but we know that he is indeed coming back. And when he comes back, the millennial kingdom will be underway. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.